Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
And we are here to talk about breaking news from a long time ago of some news based around the WGA strike. Kathleen Kennedy talking about movie releases, which might be affected by the WGA strike. We got it all here. Before we get into it, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, as always, we'll have our 4center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. That's the A for Audible, but Joseph, we got the A for Ask.
That is right. Yeah, everyone has been so kind to respond to the various A's that are asks. We want to keep up promoting our Patreon page. We've been so happy with everything that's building there. It's really been making a difference to us in what all we can do with 4Center. And I think it's been making a difference to just see how many people are enjoying joining the community on Discord that's available through the Patreon and finding a safe and fun place to talk all kinds of Star Wars. We have some new merch tiers. We've got the Indiana Jones and the Perilous podcast. I watched Temple of Doom this weekend, so we could be ready to talk about it. That is coming, that discussion, on Monday, May 15th. That'll be available on Patreon. Very excited about that. We passed the goal for Jennifer to do a new YouTube series of Jedi Beat episodes with all sorts of visuals. So all sorts of fun and exciting things going on. Right now, we are building to our next goal of $2,200 a month, at which point Ken and I will do another Star Wars ranked live stream on Patrons, where the patrons can be with us in the chat, sharing their thoughts during the live stream, and then we will release that eventually to the public as well. So that is the current ask. We also have a survey going. You know what? I forgot to write down the link. So just go to the social media, to Twitter or Facebook, and we have the link there. I think probably the majority of people who are going to fill out the survey have. Thank you all so much. We have over 500 responses, which is really, really great. It's been fascinating to see everyone's thoughts. But if you are interested, that survey is going to be up until Wednesday, May 17th.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We went through some of the answers, and some of it is like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And some of it is, ooh, surprising, and helps us kind of look towards the future of Force Center. So, Joseph, I was trying to look up the link too, but I've been struggling even saying that link. So, you know, just fine.
It's VFK8JKA. It's a droid name is what it is. It's there on social media.
There it is. Before we get the news, we always love to catch up our Star Wars and life adventures. Busy weekends, busy times. When is it not, Jen? How did Star Wars find you?
Well, last week was May the 4th, which was so exciting. I woke up, my kids, without me prompting them, which is, you know, that was nice. They said, "Happy Star Wars Day, Mom." They were so excited. They wore their Star Wars shirts to school. I said, okay, remember, you can tell people May the 4th be with you. They thought that was hilarious. And I went to California Donuts and I got some Star Wars donuts, some Princess Leia's, Chewbacca bar. I was like, Yoda. Oh, it's so good. And one of our listeners, Andy, actually got some as well. That was kind of cool. What else happened? Oh, so then I picked up my kids. I'm like, did anyone talk about Star Wars Day? They said no. No one talked about it. I was shocked, I tell you. But we ended up watching Young Jedi Adventures, which is a new show on Disney Plus aimed for kids. And it is so good. If you have not watched this and you have know any Padawans that are, you know, between the ages of like 3 and maybe even up to like 10, this show is so great. It's beautiful visually. So many fun little nods and I don't know about it necessarily being canon, but the characters are just so fun to watch. I highly recommend it. My kids loved it. They watched like, I think 5-6 episodes. It was wonderful. They had their donuts. It was pretty magical.
I want to go hang out at Jen's house.
Yeah. Donuts and nubs. That sounds like nubs. A good party to me.
Oh, we love nubs. We love donuts.
That's great. That's great. I've watched the first 2 episodes, which I think is 4 adventures, right? There's usually about two adventures. Nubs was as advertised, I would say.
Adorable.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Lots of reaction gifts from Nubs.
Oh, right. Exactly. Yes, that was my May the 4th. What did you all do? Oh, Joseph.
Go ahead, Joseph. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was definitely my big Star Wars adventure is I went to the Academy Museum here in Los Angeles to see a Return of the Jedi on the big screen. And it was really amazing. It was even better than I thought. I think I saw Empire Strikes Back at a theater a while back and it was fun. It was good. There were people in costume, but it was outside. And I think maybe the sort of the response and the energy kind of drifted away a little bit. And I think sometimes I've been like, yeah, I want to see a Star Wars film on screen, but then I'm busy or it's expensive. This wasn't. And it feels like, I've seen the movies. I'm aware. So sometimes I don't make it a priority. And I saw so many listeners and fans posting about seeing Return of the Jedi. It just really did get me into the spirit and the desire to see it. And it was an amazing experience to see it within a loud, responsive, multi-generation audience. It really did make me feel like I was seeing this again for the first time kind of thing, or seeing it in a different way. It was fascinating to see what people applauded for. There was like a real desire to applaud. There was an attempt to applaud for every character's first appearance, led to a round of applause when Han comes out of the carbonite and falls on the floor, which felt weird. A massive round of applause for Wicket's feet before he even fully appeared. There, you know, I was wondering, like, I think we'll probably explode, like, or explode, applaud when things explode, right? Like the victory moments, the sail barge goes up, the Death Star goes up. Great. But I told my wife in the car, I was like, I hope that people applaud for I'm a Jedi like my father before me, because I want to be able to just applaud and feel like I'm not alone. And huge round of applause for that. So it was great to see it again with a theater that really responded to it emotionally, as I have foggy recollections of experiencing in 1983 and 1997. But then there was the generational change, and our friend Ken Plume had talked about this. I'm sure a ton of other people who saw it experienced it, but the audience was there for everything.
Yeah.
But the audience was really there for Carrie Fisher, the Ewoks, and Hayden Christensen, one of the biggest, just absolute explosion of cheers and applause for his Force ghost appearing, which, you know, as we know, growing up the original trilogy, that is, was one of the later controversial changes that people have been really grumpy about. People applauded for Vader throwing Palpatine down the shaft, even with the no, which we can have a larger Star Wars discussion. I like the no. I know some fans might be saying no to me liking the no, but I do. It was also just great to hear laughs, because I watch it and I go, oh, what do I think is funny? What do I think is well-written, well-delivered? But to see just what played to an audience, honestly, a ton of 3PO stuff. My favorite laugh was the scene where Luke and Yoda are having their conversation, and Luke says, "Then I am a Jedi." And Yoda goes, oh. And I've always loved that line reading, and it got a big laugh. But the biggest reaction that I wanted to share was Han and Leia telling Han that Luke is her brother, and Han going through all the different beats of processing what that means, from what the hell, oh wait, hey, that's kind of weird, oh wait, that means that we could be together, there's no problem. And the audience was so there for every beat of that. That was one of those moments where I felt like I just saw this for the first time, because it isn't my kind of ancient, like, yes, I appreciate that beat. That beat's good. It was alive and modern and had all of the weight of the history of the jokes of it. It was like the audience was perceiving it like Han was going through, like, but that kiss on Hoth, weird. The way the audience was processing Han processing it made it just entirely fresh. So.
Yeah.
I will stop myself there. I could go on and on. It was an amazing experience.
Wow.
I'm bummed I couldn't get out to see it in the opportunities I had. But I've been hearing that from a lot of folks now, just what you're saying, of just the entire experience, the Hayden of it all. That's just fun. That's just fun as a Star Wars fan to know that's going on.
Yeah. Just see that generational change. And I think, you know, I'm sure it happened everywhere, but, you know, social media was full of Carrie Fisher finally getting a star in Hollywood that day. And, you know, I heard burbles of people talking about the event. So I think that there was this just a huge celebration of Leia, but also just of Carrie Fisher. And that was great to be a part of.
Love it. What a warm experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other life adventure that I want to throw out there very quickly is I am working on a fun creative project. Ken is going to be involved as well. Yes, and there's going to be announcements coming about that. But I wanted to let listeners know, if you are interested in helping us out with that project, a Kickstarter is coming soon. So just wanted to let listeners know that is coming up soon, and I'll talk about it more on the podcast when I have concrete dates and information.
Love that. Kickstarter is coming somewhere out in space. A Kickstarter is
exactly that. So Ken, what were your adventures?
Oh man, a big you know, all aspects of Star Wars, the rage, the fear, the anger, and the joy. I on May the 4th, I actually got to go perform at Flappers. I've been added kind of late to a May the Laugh Be With You Star Wars themed stand-up night. And I think only me and one other comic, a comic named Benari Lee on Twitter. Give him a follow. We were doing the old, hey, what's your Instagram? And went, oh, hey, Joseph follows you.
Yeah, he's great. I love Benari.
Yeah. So Benari and I were the only ones that did Star Wars sets and the only ones that seemed to like Star Wars. The we're not in Kansas anymore vibe came over me when I walked into the green room at the Flapper's main room because I've been told it's a Star Wars show on May the 4th. And the host was, we were chatting before, she's to get my information, and she goes, I think I'm going to upset a bunch of Star Trek fans tonight. I went, I guess tonight's the night to do that. She went, Star Wars fans. I hate Star Wars. I only like Star Trek. I was just in my head, like, why am I here? Like,
oh, what? My gosh.
And sure enough, 50% of the crowd got the memo. The 50% of the other crowd was a comedy show, which is fine. But it was an interesting, we always talk about being outside the Star Wars bubble. It was interesting to, you know, a lot of people just love punching down on Star Wars. It's all I'll say. Mm-hmm. I love getting on stage and the jokes are easy and the laughs, flow. So God bless them all, but I did have a lot of fun. I went in with I wrote some new material with some very hyper specific, you know, Bespin security guard humor. And I thought, tonight's the night. Tonight. And it didn't really work because half the crowd was like, no idea what Bespin is. Like, what is that?
Gosh. What's a Bespin?
What's the thing now? But other stuff worked. So it was a fun experience. And the vibe was great. And you know, got to talk stars in the green room with Benari. And we even had a little fun kind of debating. We have different opinions on Mando Season 3 and Book of Boba Fett, but we still celebrated Star Wars. And it was a lot of fun. So I love making new Star Wars friends and all that good stuff there. So I try to keep the vibe going. I did try, I'll make this announcement. I'm probably not streaming Star Wars Jedi Survivor anymore. I had a rush of anger on a live stream. I feel regretful about the game's necessary for me. I'm continuing to play. In fact, even just this morning, I did find and reunite with Grease. So I'm still going. I just think it's better for me to maybe just relax and try to enjoy the game or try to find something else with the pressure of entertaining and also having an entire chat room yell, you got to swing on the vine. You got to swing on the vine. Turn around. And it made for an explosion of dark side energy. So still trying to play the game and all that's, you know, a little bit of anger stirring in me. And the Star Wars lesson of sometimes you got to be flowing, not be rigid. I have a kind of a Sunday routine. Grace and I go for a walk with the dogs. We get coffee. I go into the gym. I do my ride, get the Force Center news together, all that stuff. And we decided let's go hiking. And dogs, we went a little hike Griffith Park, one of the simpler trails, because we had a dog stroller for our 17-year-old blind Chihuahua Baxter. And we went for a walk. And that led us to going, well, let's go get some lunch. And we just had one of those Sundays where we just kind of flowed where the galaxy took us, where the Force led us. And that was at the end of the day, that was the true Star Wars celebration for me. So a lot of fun, a whirlwind of emotions. I'm like a 5-year-old Chihuahua who wakes up happy and goes to bed grumpy. That's a personal experience. So it was a good time. And Star Wars can be found even in the trails at Griffith Park.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. Connecting with that nature, big deal.
Yeah. So there you go. I think we all had full weekends. Full board weekends and no, not at all. Well, let's get to some Star Wars news. One of the things that also filled my weekend was driving by and honking when I could at some of the WGA strike lines. We're in the center of that there, and they are all over the streets. We have some friends out there, all those kind of things. We want to get into this. This might be a little bit more of a free-flowing news conversation, but there is some stuff out there. One of the questions that might emerge, I've even seen it in our Discord, is, well, will the WGA strike affect Star Wars? So they can start here. That's a fair question. And the answer is yes, but maybe not currently and immediately with Ahsoka being released, probably on schedule. But news broke this week that Andor's production will continue and Tony Gilroy will remain on as producer, but can't do any writing. And there's some stuff similar to 2007, but it's a different time. But we want to start there. And we want to go to the big question, Joseph, of will the WGA strike affect Star Wars? Your thoughts and where do you want to go with that?
Always in motion is the future, but also I lean toward, I think there's a good chance it will. Yeah. I think, you know, Kathleen Kennedy had said pretty clearly that the new script for the Charmaine Obed-Chinoy New Jedi Order Rey film was hopefully going to be coming in late May. So unless it really just got in there and it was early and was absolutely flawless. Everybody said, you know, you have go pictures, you say, Ken. I think that there is a possibility that this could affect the timeline of that film if that film was going to come out in 2025. Got a great Kathleen Kennedy quote about the timing of films that we're going to discuss in the second half. Yeah. So I think that there's a good possibility that the next film could be affected.
Absolutely.
I think the Andor season two continuing production, I think there should be some awareness that that might be controversial and might still shut down. Yeah. The quote from one of the articles here on, I believe, Variety. While Andor executive producer Tony Gilroy is not on set and no longer writing, scripts were locked before the strike. Sources say he is still working as a producer on specific non-writing elements like casting and scoring for the Disney Plus show. Representatives for HBO and Lucasfilm declined to comment for this story. That dividing line between what is the work of a writer and what is the work of a producer is one of the many issues that WGA is wanting to negotiate, because sometimes it can be a tactic to say, if you're typing, that's writing. But if you're making a creative decision that really only a writer could, we're going to call that producing. And writers are saying, no, if the writer, Tony Gilroy, is making a creative decision that only he can make because he's the one who wrote it, that isn't just producing. That's a form of writing. So I think that is a big issue that I just think that fans shouldn't be confident that Andor is going to keep moving. It might get shut down as well. Final thing that I want to say real quick is that if people aren't is sort of caught up on all the Hollywood business going on, the Actors Union and the Directors Unions are both coming up to contract negotiations very quickly. The DGA begins talks on May 10th. SAG-AFTRA begins talks on June 7th. So I think it's possible that this is going to go on for a couple months. And I think it's possible that the AMPTP will wait to settle everything at once.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I will get into some of the weeds on some of that. Some of the rulings, some stuff we're going to discuss, some of the letters, the emails that have emerged of companies. But overall, I think you're right. Acolyte's also still shooting, and you and I and Jen were talking off air. Yes, that's in the UK, sometimes a little different. But overall, these are, I would describe Disney as an American-based company. Jen, I'll bring you in here too. It says, you were around here in the 2007-08 strike, and that affected some things. But when I say it was different tone, is like a lot of things just went on. MySpace wasn't even on an app, app on the phone. So word got around a little differently than it does now. And so I think the issues are more clear this time around and how it might affect Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. I just have to think about like, okay, well, where is everything? So Ahsoka is most likely just they're working on visual effects, like post-production, mixing sound, stuff like that. So that's probably fine. But like in terms of Andor, you know, when you're doing casting, you have sides, which is like basically usually a temporary script for the actors to come in and read. Well, let's say you like an actor, but they're kind of different than maybe how you would envision the character. So you think, well, I'm going to have to slightly tweak that character to make it fit this actor that I really like. Well, that's writing. And even if you're not like, it's just so fascinating to me to think about, like, if you're a producer or a showrunner who also is a writer, then it's going to be hard to not have that overlap. Like the Acolyte as well. I just don't see how this is possible. And I know that they want to keep things on schedule, and they have these crews and they have teams of people who are relying on them, these showrunners, to be able to keep the show running so that they have jobs. It affects so much. And so it's just so complicated. And I don't know. It's really dire time for Star Wars and for the WGA.
And dire indeed. And we can talk about some of the bigger issues and what they mean to all of us. I think this is a a labor strike, not just writers and not fancy Hollywood writers in the strike. It's workers. It's workers mm-hmm. and powers. And I think that's important. But even like this, I don't think Ahsoka will be affected. I think the release will be out there and we're going to want to honor all the work done, all that kind of stuff. But if you're Dave Filoni sitting in an editing bay and you mm-hmm. make an edit or want to make an editing decision that changes the scene, you could argue that's writing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You're changing the story, right? Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's complicated, and we can continue this here. But you know, Jen, you kind of hinted at it. Strikes are tough on many and complicated times because there are people who are need the kid selling coffee on set who that's his job. That all that mm-hmm. stuff can change when productions shut down. But it's also very very needed and kind of going on beyond the will affect Star Wars, but also keeping that in mind. There's this thing that came out this week looking at what Disney and HBO Max and others are doing to the writer producers, like you were talking about, Joseph. It's, you know, Tony Gilroy working on it does not necessarily mean he's crossing the line intentionally, but he might be because these companies are holding them over the barrel of what HBO Max, when it was the first to publicly release a reminder, we'll put quotations about reminder to all showrunners and writer producers that if they don't perform their non-WGA duties, then they will not be paid. Disney followed with their own email that got out there saying, we want to specifically reiterate to you as a showrunner or any other or other writer producer, you are not excused performing your duties as a showrunner and or producer in your series as a result of the WGA strike. The studio intends to stay in production during the WGA strike, and we are legally entitled to do so. Nice lawyer put that all up. A nice team of lawyers put that all mm-hmm. up. And the tension that it causes is one unnamed Disney series showrunner told Deadline, we are professionals. We know our obligations and rights, and we don't need to be spoken to like children, like this does. So, you know, as with any strike, it's especially in the early days, it's tremendously contentious. And you got the strike breakers are out there. You got what amounts to modern day Pinkertons, infiltrating strike lines. And you got other unions that are going to support. There was even a production shutdown this past weekend where only three or four WGA members were outside a studio gate. And that caused the Teamsters to turn around per their kind of sort of, I'll say protocol, but that's not necessarily written, but just what they do as a union to support another union. So all that stuff is going. But just, so I'll bring you in here too. Just, I'm putting a lot of information on the table, mm-hmm. but we're Star Wars fans, and mm-hmm. Star Wars has some themes and goals and lessons, and we understand the business of it. You've always said wonderful. George Lucas did not do a nonprofit when he started Lucasfilm. He was an artist trying to make things. Money is made. It's a big business. We understand that we are subscribed to Disney Plus, and it kind of could put even our souls into complicated areas. But we didn't want to skip this conversation about what's going on.
Yeah, no, not at all. And I think I've shared before about reading that Sammy Davis Jr. Autobiography when I was still quite young, just starting out, and his uncle and father teaching him there's the show and the business. Yeah. There's the creativity and what gets put in front of the audience. And then there's all of, you know, how the sausage gets made behind the scenes, which is necessary. The business part is necessary. The creative and the show doesn't exist without it. That project that I'm working on, I'm the producer of that, the thing that I'm going to kickstart. And I'm not a massive corporation, but I feel it from the other side of like, ooh, I desperately need these things from these people. And I only have this amount of money. And your first temptation is to just beg people to do stuff for nothing. I understand it. It's hard. So I've been a producer enough to understand it from that perspective as well. But these are massive corporations. These aren't, you know, indie producers. They have, is has been discussed so much, the money exists, it's being given to the executives at the tippy top, it exists to be spread out. So I think for me as a Star Wars fan, I feel like there's a lot in Star Wars that talks about this. The mm-hmm. corporations are in the wrong. Star Wars, although owned by a corporation, always has a lot to say about corporations. I think that's mm-hmm. so much about what the prequels in particular about is even groups. There are groups with not great intentions. There's all sorts of greed from the people who are trying to gobble up and control all of the means of production and the assets that with the Trade Federation, the Corporate Alliance, and the Banking Clan. That's all pretty pointed criticism. But then even the Senate, which arguably has good intentions, and the Jedi Order can start to get corrupted. Lucas clearly had mixed feelings about seeing himself as the rebel, the little guy. And then in order to make his dreams, his show come true, he forms Lucasfilm, and Lucasfilm has to become a corporation because that's how things worked, to the point where he names his documentary Empire of Dreams and sort of, you know, cajoles himself for like, look what I had to do to make my dreams. I had to become the empire to make my dreams. So it is complicated. Yeah. I think companies and corporations are that's how things get made, but they need to be held in check. And that's what that's what the unions are for. And in my opinion, that's what the unions are doing. It is a dark time for the unions. It is a dark time for the people who actually make the show. And a band of diverse people are coming together, making personal sacrifice for the benefit of all. So I think what's happening is very, very Star Wars.
Yeah, no, even what you're talking about, a band of rebels striking from a hidden base. Yeah, it's why, but it's always going to be the tension in life. And like, look, all these writers striking, they want this to end. They want a fair deal, and they want us to all get back to watching Disney Plus with Ahsoka. They just want a little piece of that. And it's not just, it's so easy to water it down into just simply money. There's so much more at stake. It's the little tricks and tactics to stretch the writers thin, to not pay them as much. The whole AI angle, which is it's part of an emerging and developing technology, and that's not new. You know, Photoshop, digital editing, George taking one performance from this scene and putting on another. That's all technological advances, but it kept the heart of art, I think, in its place. And I think there's a lot of danger of the heart of art being removed by these executives looking at bottom lines and executives just trying to ride these waves. I think a lot of it's at stake, and it's totally complicated. Jen, I know, probably understand those complications as well as an actor.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And the thing is that it's starting right now with the writers, but it's happening all across the board with all sorts of creators, actors as well, where we're now having to give our voices away potentially so that they can use our voices and use it in AI and create a whole new performance that we're not going to get paid for. It's becoming very scary. And that's why having the WGA as well as the other unions supporting them is the only way that things are going to change, is banding together and saying we are not going to take this anymore. You cannot treat us in this way. And the reason why we would love for it to be resolved quickly, obviously, so everyone gets paid fairly. And it also affects the entire town of Los Angeles and other parts of the country. And, restaurants, catering businesses, coffee shops, that help the studios and go to the studios and people visit, because if you're not making money, you're not going to be spending money, right? Mm-hmm. So it affects so much more in addition to what we see on screen. And I mean, I lived through the 2000 SAG commercial actors strike when I was first starting out. That was brutal. Obviously, we went through the 2007-2008 WGA strike, when reality TV really became even more popular. So it just sucks. And I don't know how long it's going to be, but I have a feeling it's going to be a while.
Yeah. Yeah. This one, especially like you said, Joseph, with the other unions deals coming up. Yep. And I think, I don't think the Four Center listener base, I really respect so much, and they make the show and make our community, but I think they all get the vibes. I think you see a lot of online stuff of, these rich writers, blah, blah. It's like, that's so much not the case. And it's not like, so I keep trying to say, it's not just about the money. This is a job. This is art. This is what Star Wars is fighting for, the heart, the spirit of the galaxy. And I just see art becoming content. I see stuff happening even on the digital media side that we don't need a writer. We can just have a computer do it. And yeah, that's up some things, but that also speaks volumes of what of the content that's been out there and how you have to, Force Center, without a doubt, we're trying to move beyond just audio and do more video. And it's, the algorithm monster is this real thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it forces creatives into a weird corner that's scary for me personally. And this is why I think I have a little bit different investment this time around. I'm not a guild member, by the way. Everyone's clear about that. But the 07 one, you know, I had a little bitter too, because it took away an opportunity from me. And I just didn't, it was a little bit different view of the galaxy back then than I do now. I'm terrified of what I see out there. I see of just the removal of the spirit, the human spirit in being creative, and just having people strike this down as rich writers trying to get more money. I can guarantee you, most of them are working 2-3 jobs. Most of them have to go on unemployment. And that's yep. with these mini rooms that you're hearing about. And I keep going on the trick, the tactic of, well, season 4 is going to be split into 2 volumes. That's just a way to not pay the people making the shows for 2 seasons, but get 2 seasons out for the content. HBO Max removing Westworld because they didn't want to do, you know, they don't want to pay residuals, and it's a tax write-off and all that stuff. That stuff's happening. I think of that Bad Batch episode in the middle when they were looking for Gonki and they run into that community on that planet. That's what's going on here. It's so Star Wars. Like I said, this is kind of free form. I don't know where else to go other than, you know, this will affect Star Wars, and it's okay to be bummed by that. I think it's okay. You know, I don't. No one wants this delayed, and we love this entertainment. But that's the thing: you're paying for this entertainment, money's being generated for this entertainment, and people are struggling to survive who bring this entertainment. It's a worthwhile cause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, Ken, mm-hmm. you know, this idea of what does the strike mean. As creatives, but also as Star Wars fans, and also as just, you know, people who have to survive in this world and culture, there is such specificity to it, but it is also universal. The specificity part of it is, you know, for me, it's not theoretical. It's very real. I'm not in the WGA or even in the Animation Guild, TAG, which is also a whole thing that animation writers have never been treated anywhere near as well. Mm-hmm. There's a term for it called pre-WGA, which basically means like you have management, you're pitching, so you're like a sail away from being in the union. So it's not a legal term; it's a means of discussion kind of term. Mm-hmm. I'm pre-WGA in that sense. So it does affect me directly. I can't pitch anything right now because that is, you know, considered crossing the line, which I'm not going to do. These are my friends who are out there picketing, and I know how hard they have. They are not like, I waltz in and I write a couple little words and then I just go and retire to my mansion. These are people who, this is their dream, and they fought and they have scraped for years, and they have dealt with mountains of rejection to get the little bit of gold that they've been managed to get out of these dreams. You know, it affects me. It affects my friends. It's my neighborhood. I can hear the helicopters over the Netflix building. mm-hmm. You know, it's all very close to me. So it is very specific. And it's specific to the business, that everything you're talking about, Ken, of this isn't like rich people want more money with the writers. Mm-hmm. These are labor issues, like you're saying. You know, enough writers in the room and on the set for safety, so writers aren't overworked. Mm-hmm. And enough writers in the room and on the set means better quality shows for everybody. Residuals are just fair. Animation largely doesn't have residuals. I got nothing mm-hmm. for writing for Adult Swim, residuals. Why? Common sense things like being paid the same for streaming and traditional, since it's the exact same work. I think everybody could understand that. Of like, hey, you work at McDonald's and you make a burger, but you made the exact same burger, but now it doesn't pay. Like, that's, you know, for screenwriters, codifying some draft fees so you can't constantly be asked to do free work, which is loopholes that happen all the time there. So there's all this stuff that's again specific, but then I just mm-hmm. want to also remind myself and anybody who is maybe not, you know, having time to read every little thing about this. This is so universal. It is happening everywhere. And it is the battle of our age in many ways, that the executives are being paid millions and millions of dollars. This is the same reason that Starbucks is just suddenly closing down stores because the Starbucks people there unionized. Mm. This is the socioeconomic battle of our ages. It's about consolidating all of the wealth at the top and then letting everybody just fight for scraps. Mm. It's what the movie Solo is about. That's a picture of a system where everybody thinks it's bonkers that young Han Solo dreams of some amount of personal freedom. It's like, mm-hmm. no, everybody's trapped and just pick where you're trapped. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's what everyone is cheering for ending at the end of Return of the Jedi. So I do think it's really universal because I think so many people are being asked to work more and more and more dangerously, mm-hmm. soul stiflingly for less. And yet the money is there for executives in a way it never has been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a tweet that I saw, you know, don't go into the replies. Don't go into the replies, kids. But I went into the replies. And not to anything I'd set up, but like, you know, someone was like, oh, maybe these fancy Hollywood writers want to come work my third shift, 12-hour, you know, my night shift, 12-hour shift job. And I thought, well, you're probably fighting the same battles.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you know, writers are sometimes 16 hours a day for weeks at almost no pay when you stretch it out, and then they're, you know, cast aside here. So it is the same battle. And, you know, I think that's kind of at the heart of it for me. And it's when you really, really hear, when you reach out and hear these creative people talking about, you know, what they go through and what it will spill out. It will continue to spill out. It will take over the land unless we all kind of at least understand it and understand what it's truly about. So I encourage you all to read, like Joseph was saying, he's got some great quotes there, great articles out there about it. See what's going on. Mm-hmm. Move beyond just the, hey, will Ahsoka show up? I think it probably will, but it's valuable to us all to try to understand a little bit, I think.
Mm-hmm. Hear, hear.
There. Any final thoughts on that there? I don't know.
I am going to stop myself from talking about AI. And I think what Star Wars has to say about the whole turn off your targeting computer. I think there's some Star Wars stuff there, but we'll leave that for another discussion.
Yeah. I almost want to. Yeah, you're right. Because we want to also move along. But it's like I don't want to ever conflate the two. There's complicated, maybe some competing thoughts around, you know, Luke Skywalker, Mando, and all that kind of stuff. And I get it. I have friends who just absolutely want to stomp that out, and I totally get it. But also, I think there was a human heart in that and what they were trying to mm-hmm. do. And it's Luke Skywalker for a scene versus a show. But I think that's very different than what is someone going, cool, hey, I just released an album that's Oasis, but it's eight new songs that they never did, and I didn't create it. I told this computer to create it. And we're in a weird time.
And it's moving so fast. I mean, just when this whole streaming and internet, I'm using quotes, internet stuff, it totally changed the game, at least from an actor's perspective, and I'm sure for all the writers as well. Like you're saying, Joseph, we're doing the same work, and you're paying us nothing. I mean, I used to be able to make a living making commercials, mm-hmm. and it was not great living, but it was like I could at least have health insurance. And mm-hmm. now once they started, you know, you're airing your commercial, they're airing it on Twitter, you're seeing yourself over and over and over again, right, on YouTube, mm-hmm. get paid nothing, like a very small lump sum, and that's it. And they can air your face all they want, and you could be the spokesperson. It doesn't matter. You get very, very little. And so the companies are making so much money for actually a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. And the creative people who are actually making these hit shows and making the products are the ones that are suffering, who don't have health insurance, who dedicate 6 months of their lives to write on a show. And then to basically still be at poverty level for wages, it's just, it's so wrong. It's so upsetting. And that's why we are forming the Rebel Alliance.
It's out there. So anyways, we wanted to discuss it. We felt it was right for us, especially as a podcast in 2023 to not turn away. And we hope, look, we all hope it gets resolved. All the cities, Atlanta, Vancouver, any place where people shoot things. Mm-hmm. And productions, even as we're talking and recording this, Severance on Apple TV is announced, it will stop shooting immediately. You're going to start seeing this more and more. I for one, think the tone and tenor from 2007 is different. It's bigger.
It's
a larger fight. And remember, back in 2007, it was like, we got to worry about streaming. And it was like, what the hell's that?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Like, why do you want so much money for this YouTube thing that is only a couple of years old? Yeah.
Well, it's crazy. As someone put that, I mentioned it, but someone in 2007, no social media sites were on phones. There was no MySpace app. There's no Friendster app. None of no Facebook app. None of that.
There were barely phones. There were Blackberries.
Yeah, exactly.
iPhone came out in 2007.
It did. Oh, yeah. Gosh. Yeah. Summertime. That was my first week at my new job, where that was we had to work security for an unveiling of something called the iPhone. I was like, what are they going to do? iHome next? Times have changed profoundly and fast. And that's what this is about, too. So, hey, by your description, Joseph, Han Solo in Solo working for the White Worms, it's like he's a independent YouTuber just trying to make some art.
Just trying to get by.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're talking about some other Star Wars news. That actually, quite frankly, is just an extension of this conversation. These comments actually came out, were recorded during Star Wars Celebration. We're going to talk about something Kathleen Kennedy said. Before we do that, we're going to have a Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. So, Joseph, what do you got?
Hey, we are still recommending Battle Scars by Sam Meggs. Ken and I read this one. We discussed it recently on the podcast. If you want to get caught up with it, you can check out this audiobook.
Absolutely. Check it out. Download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right, quick break, and we'll get back to the news after this.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome back to 4Center, taking a look at the news of the week. And Kathleen Kennedy had this little interview out on Empire about how to eventize the Star Wars movies. Well, the first thing might be to have some writers that can put them together. All right. In an interview released on Star Wars Day, but like I said, recorded in London during Star Wars Celebration, at least the interview took place there, Kathleen Kennedy spoke to Empire Magazine about how to best eventize the future Star Wars movies. There were some other things to come out of this interview. So, Joseph, Jen, if you want to pull them in, go for it all the way. I just focused on this one little section where she said, "I've often brought up Bond. That's every 3 or 4 years, and there wasn't this pressure to feel like you had to have a movie every year. I feel that was very important to Star Wars. We have to eventize this. It's much better to tell the truth that we're going to make these movies when they're ready to be made and release them when they're ready to be released." So, yes, we'll get into the strike thing here too, but I want to start, Jennifer, with this. What does eventize mean to us as fans, and how do you really think it can be done now?
You know, Star Wars has been an event since the beginning, right? Since the beginning, it's baked in its DNA. What I think that means is, you know, Star Wars stories, they're not Marvel stories. They're totally different. So we can have multiple Marvel movies a year and people are excited, still go see it. Star Wars, it's different. And I can't describe why. Maybe you guys can articulate why better, but I just feel like it's okay if we don't see it every year in the movie theater. They can take their time. They can pump the brakes when they need to. Because when Star Wars doesn't do well at the box office, or if it's amongst fans, it is seen as a failure. Like Solo, which is seen as a failure, which obviously I'm like, what? It actually made great money. And it's a fantastic movie. But it's people point to it as this big bomb. And I feel like Star Wars is held up to this different standard than other properties. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I've been a little sensitive about it. But it just feels like Star Wars has to hit a home run every single time, or else it will be so scrutinized. And because of that, they should take their time and make it an event.
I like that take, actually, of just like, hey, we know the pressure's on, so we're going to make sure we're doing that by not forcing anything or rushing anything. And I'm not saying anything was too rushed. We'll get into more of that, but that's a good place to start the conversation. But Joseph, for you, an event, a Star Wars film event, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, I think it means a couple different things. Because I'm obsessed with clarity, one thing I do want to point out is this quote is a snippet of a longer interview in Empire magazine that's going to be coming out on May 11th, I believe, the one with a Secret Empire coverage. So I'm looking forward to more drips of individual Kathleen Kennedy quotes, and then finally getting a full context. I think this one's pretty clear all by itself, but you know, I always go digging for, is there context we're missing? But in terms of the eventize, I think part of it is just time, allowing time for desire to build. I think we're at that point now. I think if there was a Star Wars movie in December 2023, obviously there isn't going to be. I think that it's been long enough from Rise of Skywalker that I think the desire to be in a theater with a bunch of Star Wars fans applauding when that Lucasfilm logo comes up, I think that's built up. I think Marvel and Star Wars are really different. I think one thing for Marvel has always been that this is an adaptation of comic books with multiple serialized stories going at the same time that then overlap with one another. So it's been baked into Marvel. Marvel's the MCU is the largest literary adaptation that's ever been done. Yeah. It's an experiment that works partially because of the source material that it's translating. But even with that, I remember it being in the theater as people were able, as the vaccines were out and people were able to get back into the theater. The first movie I saw was Black Widow with wearing about three masks. And still the screams at the Marvel opening fanfare because time had allowed the desire to build. I saw Guardians of the Galaxy this week and people were excited to be there, but the energy was so different. because Guardians fans were excited to be there, but they're fans of Guardians of the Galaxy. But like Marvel, there's been much talk about, like, maybe it's been too much. Mm-hmm. So I think about eventizing in terms of like letting the desire build. Mm-hmm. But I also think about it in terms of the scale of the films, you know, budget, but also like, are these galactic stakes? Are the stories mm-hmm. moments of deep, deep change? The other quote that you were talking about, Ken, I want to read real quick. Kennedy says, what we're exploring is the evolution of the Jedi. We're going very far back. We're looking at the present. Now we're moving 15 years after the rise of Skywalker. The First Order has fallen. The Jedi are in chaos. There's even a question of how many exist anymore. And Rey's building the new Jedi Order based on the text that she was given and that Luke imparted on her. Lots of fun stuff to discuss in there. But for me, the point is the movies that they announced are big paradigm shifting galactic moments about arguably the core idea, one of the tent poles of Star Wars, the Jedi. So I think that's eventized to me too, of it isn't a little side adventure. It's how did the Jedi start? Can they continue? Pretty big stuff.
Yeah, big stuff indeed. And there was even there's a Filoni thing out there right now about mostly about the New Republic era movie. But, you know, there should be an event in that era that changes everything. Whereas, you know, the blowing up of the Death Star changed a lot of things. And you can have stories lean to that and stories after that. And I thought it was really interesting. Look at that, too, there. Yeah, no, I love what you're saying there. And as far as me, like this eventized thing, you know, I it is different, and I'm glad you brought that the difference between Marvel. They're always going to be compared, and Marvel at times is putting out, at other times it seems like they're churning out two or three movies a year, and that's I've always said that. I've never had a bad experience with a Marvel movie. I enjoy them, but it is a different, completely different ball game. And Star Wars, to your point, Jen, does have these high standards because of the way it felt. Now I'll say this, a hot take. I think if George Lucas had the technology rolling, I think he would have released the prequels over the course of 3 years or four at the most, right? I just think that was that's what they had to do. It wasn't because he was like, let's do it for 3 years because that's what we did before. I just think it took that long to make those films. So personally, I think I could, every December I could have an event. I'd be okay. you know, time moves. Look at Jackson and the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Every December that was for those 3 years was an event. But I think the spirit of this quote is something I really like, and we'll continue to discuss what that means about when we're ready. And to tell the truth, not that anyone was lying before, it's just, you know, you got to get the news out. Or go with me here, the news comes out before you're ready, and now it feels as though you've promised something with a creator when you're just stuff we've talked about before. But I like what you're saying here. When we're ready to make these, because they are big, and we know that you all see them as big, to me, that's a good, honest, perhaps even change of the approach the last couple of years, which I think it's fair to maybe criticize some of the stuff. I don't think everything has been handled perfectly over there, particularly in how they announce it or even sometimes market some things. But I'm excited about that. I'm excited, hopefully, about a 2025 release. Now, again, writer strike, as we discussed, that is dramatically changing things. And I think this will be affected. But if you weave that in, if you want here, but this Kathleen Kennedy quote alone does not take away a 2025 release, which we know was announced a year or so ago, or whenever something was spoiled or scooped or leaked, where we had a Disney, you know, release schedule out there. But it definitely doesn't confirm that a film would be in 2025. So, Jen, thoughts on 2025 and beyond for the film slate? Basically, are you okay if it's 2026?
I think we have no choice because I think it is. It might be pushed back. And people knew that the strike was most likely going to happen. So I'm sure that they've been anticipating this. And it's a question of, like we talked about, I don't know how ready the script is. You know, if it's close enough, then there's still a lot that they can do with production design, with costumes, with things like that. The only thing is that like the Mandoverse is obviously they're able to use the volume and they're able to reuse sets. I don't know about this new film, how much they would be able to reuse, which means that they need more time, and more time means a 2026 release date, I think.
Yeah.
I'm preparing myself, right? I'm getting my expectations where they need to be so I'm not disappointed.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to go through life.
Right.
So, Joseph, thoughts on 2025 and beyond?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to wait, but there are a lot of things in life I don't want. And this is one of them. I'll have to accept. I'd be thrilled if there was a Star Wars movie this December. But yeah, I agree with you, Ken. I think that I sense a change of bobs in some of what Kathleen Kennedy has been saying, of kind of pushing back on.
Yes.
We're not going to, because there's been a corporate decision that you must hit this date.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do that. We're going to have the films out and released and announced when we're ready to. Mm-hmm. I think for me as a Bond fan, the other thing that I take from this about being concerned that the next film might not be out in 2025 is the Bond film release schedule is not entirely a choice.
Thank you.
I'm a massive Bond fan, and the tradition was, well, they started out coming out one a year, and then slowed down toward the end of Connery's run, and then for a long time it was two a year or two every 2 years, clockwork, and then in between Timothy Dalton and Pierce Brosnan there was a break, but then Pierce Brosnan for a while there was back to the every 2 years there's a James Bond movie, and they tried to get it going again with Daniel Craig. You had Casino Royale in 2006 and then Quantum of Solace in 2008, which is being discussed a lot because it was affected by the writer's strike.
Mm-hmm.
But then everything after that wasn't this like super cool chill like, mm-hmm, yeah, it's cooking in the kitchen when we're ready, man. No, there was an endless amount of legal drama, mm-hmm, sales to different companies, script problems, waiting for Daniel Craig's schedule, trying, mm-hmm, to hit anniversary years, a pandemic. The Daniel Craig films are 2006, 2008, then 2012, 2015, 2021. And the reason I bring all that up is I feel like Kathleen Kennedy is saying something that I really think is great as a fan of the creative side of it all, of we are going to take our times and we're going to make the movies right and we're not going to be rushed. But I think by name checking Bond in the easily researched history of, I think she's also kind of acknowledging there's a lot of real world bumps that are going to get in the way. So I am not going to go out and promise 2025 because the creative might take some time and all this other bleep that happened to the Bond movies could happen to us too. So let's be realistic about the setbacks.
I love your take on that, and I was waiting to get to that. Yeah, I'm so supportive of Kathleen Kennedy. No red eyes on this thumbnail, but it was a different example. Yes, because I don't think it's intentional, some of the releases. In fact, as a Bond fan, that wait between Quantum of Solace and was Skyfall next, that bummed, mm-hmm, me out. It really bummed me. And director problems, director switches, injuries, mm-hmm, on set, a lot of things. But I think this, again, the spirit of what you're saying exactly, even when those films did finally come out, it did feel like an event and it did feel big and it did feel like, yeah, it's a Bond film. And I'm a fan of such a fan of the Daniel Craig era stuff. So that worked. And even, you know, even with the switch to Pierce Brosnan, that is what was that from 89 to 95? Go off top. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's nothing. Right. But as a youngster, that felt like centuries.
It was an eternity. It was, will James Bond ever come back, from my perspective?
It was, you know, yeah, it was like, remember that thing they used to have? They used to call James Bond. Remember those? And there's video games out and there's movies out. Yeah, it was big. So anyways, I think you're right. I love what you pointed out, that it's the spirit of what she's saying is true, and that the Bond of it all, it takes in effect all the bleep, as you said. So, Jen, I can't. You go with the Bond example. I'm trying to think of another example out there.
I wasn't too familiar with the Bond. I just remember seeing the Timothy Dalton Bond many years ago. He was my Bond. I was like a kid. So he was great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I got nothing on Bond. Got nothing
on Bond. No. Yeah, but the finals, we bring it on home here. I think we've gotten to discuss it, but to put a finer point on it there, Jen, what can be gained by spacing out Star Wars film releases? What's the positive view in it? How do you want to see that managed and maybe even marketed? And how do you want to feel when you finally get back to a theater?
I think it will feel more special. I think, you know, Star Wars has been doing really well on Disney Plus. So it's not like we have a shortage of Star Wars stories. They're thriving in streaming. So I think that they can take their time to get it right. the visual effects, the story, et cetera, et cetera. What I think is going to be great is that it's going to feel like multi-generational, like you were talking about, Joseph, with the Return of the Jedi. There's going to be kids who grew up with the sequel trilogy, who were young when the sequel trilogy came out, who were going to be older and able to experience this new, this new Rey film in a different light. And then there might be kids in this interim, like hopefully my 7-year-old, I'm going to introduce her to the sequel trilogy so that she is prepared for this, next film. And that's really, really exciting because Star Wars has to live on through the youngsters in order for it to live on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm excited and I'm happy that they're taking their time just to get it right.
Yeah, Nubs will save us all.
Nubs will save us all. Yeah, talk about the multi-generational feel. Star Wars is going strong. That's also part of the reason I think they can take the time. They're putting out great content on Disney Plus, including The Adventures of Nubs. But Joseph, this movie comes out 2025 or beyond. That's going to be a chance for an entire new generation to look around and go, ooh, what's this event everyone's talking about? A la Force Awakens in 2015. And that's one of the positive things I can take from it. You?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think just a thrill of lots of different generations experiencing it, getting to experience it with people who grew up with the sequel trilogy. And, you know, by that time, you know, you're going to be having interviews in lines and you're going to have people who are like, I was 15 when Force Awakens came out and I decided to do this with my career because of Rey, you know, like that kind of cultural impact is going to be there, as well as the kids who are 7, you know, whatever year this comes out. Exactly. Hopefully 2025. I really, really want it. I would love at some point a little bit of spacing between the Star Wars film releases. I think I personally don't need the Marvel pace of 2 to 3 a year. I would be fine with 1 a year. That's enough time for my desire to build. You know, Halloween's pretty good. My wife's birthday is pretty good. I wait a year and get excited about those. But a Star Wars movie once a year, every 2 years, I think would be great because it's just enough spacing to have that the desire for it build up to make it an event. And final thought for me, if the films get a little spaced out, to get on maybe a little regular schedule, maybe toys could actually be released at the same time as the Star Wars story again.
Hey, there you go. Gotta love that.
Felican dream.
Felican dream. Oh, there we go. Of course, the big one hanging over all this is the WGA strike. I think this will affect the next set of films. But hey, for now, we'll look to the future when we all can be back in the theater enjoying a Star Wars film and feeling that event with our toys, our little guys, our little mans.
Our little mans.
Our little mans. Well, that is it for this week, folks. We are out of here. You can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're available on a lot of different spots, including iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and more. Don't forget, we're on YouTube. Subscribe over there. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter, as we said up top. You can follow me at Ken Napsok. Go to my website, kennapsok.com, for more things that I've got going on. Going to be announcing hopefully some stand-up dates in the fall around some other cities in this fair country here. All right, Jen, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram and YouTube at Jennifer Landa. I'm on Blue Sky now. Have not done a thing. I don't know what you would call it. It's not a tweet. I don't know. Anyways, I'm on there at Jennifer Landa and TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138.
What do you call it? Is a poof?
Do you blue yourself like Arrested Development?
That's something else. That's where you can follow Jen. Joseph, where can they follow you? Where can you find yourself? Because I know you're trying to find all the different spots to put you on.
I need to find me. Well, not on Blue Sky. I'll have to ask Jennifer about the invite connect. But you can find me on Twitter still. I'm trying to spend some more time on Mastodon, definitely on Instagram, all sorts of places like that. Of course, my YouTube channel as well. But please do follow on social media if you would like some more not on boxing videos and some information about that creative project coming up very soon. You can always find me on all the social media at Joseph Scrimshaw.
Yes, you can. All right, my friends, that is it for this week. We'll see you next time here on Force. Thank you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.